Chapter 2. Saturday, 7:34 a.m. Lucy Guardino hated this part, the right before it started part, the waiting part. Killing time, she rummaged through her frayed denim bag as she sat in the Blazer's passenger seat. Fletcher had done a good job. Little girl's barrette, a hair scrunchie, crumpled giant eagle receipt, and two key chains, one with a set of house keys, the other with a single Dodge van key. She closed her fist around the van key, its sharp edges biting into her skin. The pain helped her to focus, chased away silent stirrings of panic. All part of the waiting. She'd be fine once it came time for doing. She always was. The bank's parking lot was quiet at this early hour, heat already steaming the blacktop. The air smelled of fertilizer, mowed hay, and burnt oil. Frogs trilled a duet with cicadas in the field across the parking lot, punctuated by the squeal of air brakes from the highway beyond it. September in Pennsylvania. Steadying her breathing, she pictured Katie, only 4 years old, pictured what the men wanted to do with her. No, that was no good. All she saw was her own daughter. All she felt was the rage that animals like them were allowed to roam free. Tossing her head to crack her neck, she took another deep breath, shoved the image of her daughter aside and thought instead of what the men wanted. Power, devotion, adoration, control. She knew these men, knew how they thought, what they desired. The passions that woke them at 3 in the morning, sweaty and sick with need. The visions they held in their mind as they jacked off. The longing, sweet anticipation, clawing its way through their veins until they were as powerless to resist as a junkie offered a free hit. Oh yes, Lucy knew these men. Calm settled over her, hypnotic as the burble of childhood streams, cool water, warm mud between her toes. She and her father had loved to go fishing. He always said fishing was all about the art of dangling bait, showing them what they wanted, but not ever letting them have it. That's all this was, a different kind of fishing. She closed her eyes for a moment, smiling at the memory. Dad was right, and Lucy was a good fisherman. She lived for that instant when the line snapped taut, ready to break, adrenaline stretching the moment, time holding its breath until she took control and finessed the fish into shore, right where she wanted it. Her phone rang, shattering the calm. "Now don't worry," Nick said, which of course sent her pulse racing into overdrive. He always said that when there was something to worry about. "Megan just called. Her fever's back, and her throat is sore again. I got a hold of the doctor. He can see her if we get her there by 9, but my first client is already on their way." Lucy glanced at the dashboard clock. The meet should be a quick in and out, just to confirm all the details, and to make sure there weren't any new players to add to their roster. With Nick's practice so new, he couldn't risk angering clients by canceling. "I can do it." "You sure?" She didn't take offense. He had reason to doubt. She'd been held up before by work. But it was a Saturday, and he'd taken Megan to the doctor 2 weeks ago. If the strep had come back, Lucy wanted to be there to get some answers. "No problem, I'm sure. Call me, let me know what the doctor says." "I will. She's okay until I get there?" Megan had been miserable with the strep. She hoped it wasn't back again. Guilt washed over her. Work had been busy, too busy, and she couldn't remember the last time she'd been home in time to do more than tuck Megan in. Although, of course, Megan refused to be tucked in by her mom anymore. 12 going on 20. She's fine. Worried about missing soccer. "It's time," Fletcher called to her from outside the window. "I've gotta go. Love ya. Bye." Lucy hung up, pushing all thoughts of her family aside, locking them away, safe and sound. She searched for that calm again. No luck. All she found was an electric current of adrenaline sparking her skin. One last check in the mirror that she looked the part. Large dangling earrings, clunky, ugly choker, 2 small lycra tank top, tight-fitting black stretch jeans, way too much makeup, big hair teased and sprayed to an inch of its life, and 3-inch high-heel boots. Typical trailer trash mom doing whatever it took to make ends meet. That was her. Except for one small detail. She slid her wedding band free and completed her final ritual. A quick kiss for luck, smearing her ring with her too bright lipstick, she carefully placed the ring in the change section of her real wallet inside her real bag. She climbed out of Fletcher's blazer and slowly spun around for him. "Wow, you look good," he said as he approached from the side of the SUV. Fletcher wasn't a tall man, was reedy thin, as if he forgot to eat sometimes, with the permanent squint of someone who spent most of his waking hours staring at computer monitors. Lucy shot him a glare, and he stammered, "I mean, you look, everything ready?" she asked him. "Yeah, sure, I think." She folded her arms across her chest, interrupting his appraisal, and he looked up, flushing. "I mean, yes, I'm ready." It was time. Lucy crossed the parking lot to where the battered caravan with tinted windows waited. The macadam, soft with heat, grabbed onto her boot heels, giving her one last chance to change her mind. She wasn't changing her mind. She peered into the back seat, scrutinizing the still form buckled into a booster seat. She circled the van, checked from every angle. A girl, sleeping, dressed in her Sunday best, slumped in the seat, streams of golden curls tangled and askew, concealing her features. Lucy got into the van and turned on the ignition, cranking the AC. It was even hotter than yesterday, already 83 degrees according to the bank thermometer. Pittsburgh's idea of Indian summer. "Okay, Katie May, it's just you and me, kid." The men had changed the meeting place at the last minute. She hadn't liked that, but it happened. Not too surprising, given what they were meeting for. Now it was an old water pumping station off of Route 60. Her team had already done their recon, said the building had been bought by Walter, their main target, after standing empty for a decade. By the time Lucy arrived, the AC had only begun to cool the inside of the van, leaving her clammy with half-dried sweat. Two other cars waited in the gravel parking lot, a beat-up Pontiac sedan and a Ford 350 pickup. The whitewashed concrete building was on a wooded lot with a stream running along the east side, rusting pipes tunneling through the building's sidewall down to the water. She knew her team's positions, but couldn't spot them in the woods surrounding the lot. Good. A crudely forged steel cross perched on the roof's peak. A call to worship or a lightning rod? Then she noticed the hand-carved wooden sign hanging over the front door, one end a little lower than the other. Lucy itched to straighten it, reading, "Church of the Holy Redeemer." A church? She worked her jaw from side to side, ligaments crackling with tension. A church. These guys were full of surprises. Nothing much she could do about it except hope this was the last one. She left the van running and locked the door behind her. The only obvious luxury the caravan had was the keypad door lock. In her line of work, it wasn't a luxury, it was a necessity. She touched the window, her fingers tracing Katie's sleeping form. Anxiety resurfaced, splashing through her gut, a trout caught in a net. Another deep breath reined it in. She wasn't expecting trouble. She'd had meetings like this before, so many she'd lost count, and had never had any trouble. That didn't mean she wasn't prepared. A short-barreled Smith & Wesson 32 concealed in her denim jacket. Single working mom type of gun. Tugging her jacket into place, shifting her shoulders until she felt her 32 nestle against her ribcage, she walked toward the building. The cornerstone read 1923. The windows were arched and mullioned with carved keystones over the top of each. Back then, even a lowly pumping station received an artisan's attention. The door, an arched slab of wood, popped open while she was still 10 feet away. A bearded man, thin, with wire-rimmed glasses, wearing black slacks and a starched white shirt buttoned all the way to the top collar button, emerged. "Sister Ruby?" "Yes." She stopped a few feet shy of the entrance. He stood directly beneath the crooked sign. "Are you Walter?" "I am." "I'm not sure about this. I mean, a church. Would you like to see our facilities? He spread an arm open in invitation. Despite his formal tone, his accent was strictly country, rolling in cadence just like the hills surrounding them. He was working hard to play a role. Lucy's jaw spasmed, sending a shockwave of pain down her neck and spine. On the phone, Walter and Henry had been explicit in what they wanted. But now Walter was acting like she was here for a prayer meeting. "Where's Henry?" "Pastor Henry is waiting for us downstairs, getting everything ready for Katie's visit." His voice snagged on Katie's name, a tiny thrill there. She relaxed a tiny bit, reassured by the slip in his facade. "Where is the child?" "Sleeping in the van. I left the engine on. It's too hot to leave her in there without the AC running." He nodded his approval. "Mind if I take a quick peek?" "Of course not. That's what we're here for. Just don't wake her. I want her fresh when you and Henry are ready." His tongue darted free, kissing his top lip for an instant before disappearing again. He walked past her, his gait stiff with anticipation, and peered inside the van window at Katie. "My, she's even lovelier in person. You must be mighty proud of her." He returned to Lucy's side and opened the church door. The middle finger of his right hand was missing. A mass of scar tissue contorted his palm. "Playing with fireworks? Or something more deadly? Shall we go inside and finish our preparations?" She crossed the threshold, fingering her choker as she looked around. The room was maybe 20 by 30. Whitewashed walls, white linoleum floor, white ceiling. The only color came from a stack of gray folding chairs standing against one wall and a dark wood cross hanging from the ceiling at the far end of the room. To the right was a set of concrete stairs going down. Walter crossed over to the stairs. Lucy stalled. "What kind of a church is this?" He stopped on the top step and turned back to her. "We're a Pentecostal denomination. Small but actively recruiting." He followed her gaze as she glanced around the empty space. "We don't do a lot of sitting during our services, not once the good Lord starts moving in us." She had to fight to hide her cringe. Two men arranging for a private visit from a 4-year-old little girl in a house of worship, and Walter acted like this was perfectly acceptable. Lucy had dealt with some major weirdos in her time, but the creep factor here was at an all-time high. She swept the thought aside along with the emotions that ran with it. The business at hand required all of her focus. She followed Walter down the stairs. Each footfall vibrated through her, jarring her to her core, unleashing her fear. Her father once told her there were only two true emotions, fear and love. His words haunted her at times like this. She loved her family, was constantly in fear that she might not be able to keep them safe. But that fear wouldn't stop her from getting what she came for. She hoped that, God forbid, if her own child ever needed help, someone would do the same for Megan. The chill scent of earth, mildew, and metal long exposed to water filled her nostrils. Sharp, nasty, the stench of dirty, wet socks shoved into a hamper for too long. At the bottom of the steps was a heavy wooden door with hinges as thick as her fist. Pipes lined the wall beside the door, traveling toward the outside wall and the stream beyond. Walter heaved the door open and gestured for her to precede him. Again she paused just inside the door, looking around. It was an antechamber, half the size of the room above them, poorly lit by a few smudgy glass block windows, high up on the wall across from her. Pipes of various sizes, bristling with valves, covered the wall beside her, converging into a rectangular pool dug into the floor, maybe 8 feet by 10. The air smelled worse here, small things crawling away in dark, dank corners to die. She couldn't tell how deep the pool was, some kind of retaining area, maybe for testing the water. Surely they didn't use it for baptisms. The wall, she could see, was slimy with algae, but enough water lined the bottom to paint the walls with reflected light. A man emerging from a doorway leading to another room on the far side of the pool grabbed her attention. He was dressed like Walter and carried a black leather Bible, using both hands. Pastor Henry. "Did you see the girl?" he asked Walter, his gaze flicking off Lucy as if she were a scrap of trash the wind had blown past. Yes, she's safe in the van. A little angel. Walter still stood at the door. Lucy had no choice but to move further into the room so that he could swing it shut behind them. His voice had gained a sing-song quality, his anticipation revving up. "Before we go any farther," Lucy said, taking control of the situation, "I want to get everything clear. First, I need the rest of the money. We agreed on $2,000 up front, another $1,000 when I got here." "You'll get your reward, never fear," Henry said. "All we want is the girl." "Where's your camera?" Lucy looked around. This was feeling wrong on so many levels. Were they planning to double-cross her? She curled her arms around her chest as if she were cold, slipping her hand inside her jacket, grabbing the .32. "You said all you wanted was to take pictures. That's what we agreed on. No touching."
"That's what we said," Walter confirmed.
He was still behind her, blocking her exit. She stepped backwards, closer to the pool, so that she could keep both of them in sight. As she did, she felt more than heard a strange vibration. Rattling in the pipes? Whatever it was, she didn't like it. It made it hard to concentrate, and she needed to concentrate. The men stood on opposite sides of the pool. She had no idea who or what was behind the second door, the one that Henry emerged from, and tried to angle herself to keep it in her periphery. "Do you want more? We can arrange it, if you have enough cash." Henry's smirk made it clear that he wanted much more than photos. He stepped into the room, skirting the edge of the pool, to stand shoulder to shoulder with Walter. Between her and the door she came in through. The water in the pool shimmered, bouncing light over the white walls. There was something wrong about that. There was no breeze in the room. What was making the water ripple? A circulating pump? Was that the source of this strange buzzing noise? "What exactly do you want?" she asked, refusing to be distracted by the sparks of jade-colored light dancing across the walls or the eerie hum that made the hair on the back of her neck stand at attention. Both men kept their hands in plain sight, but their faces now shared identical expressions of lust. "We want to save Katie's soul, Sister Ruby," Walter said. The door beside her opened. Lucy whirled to keep it in sight as well as the two men. It meant putting her back to the pool. The movement released a fresh cascade of adrenaline and anxiety. Something about the pool wasn't right. It felt more dangerous than the two men. A woman emerged from the rear room, shutting the door behind her before Lucy could see what lay beyond. She wore a simple gray dress, homemade. Her hands were empty, clasped before her as if in prayer. "Is she here yet? My baby, has she come home?"
"What the hell is going on here?" Lucy demanded, her voice booming against the concrete walls.
"Pastor Henry and Sister Norma lost their daughter recently." Walter spoke as if he were teaching catechism to a particularly dim student. The rear door opened again, this time releasing another man and two more women. They stood, watching in silence, waiting. Norma kept walking toward Lucy, her face upturned, seeking the sun, the truth, something. Whatever it was, she seemed to think Lucy had it. She stretched her arms out in front of her.
"Please, where is my baby?"
"Lady, I don't know what you're talking about." Lucy made a judgment call. "The deal's off. There won't be any playdate." The last words emerged loud, adrenaline giving them extra emphasis. The thudding noise of the church door being shoved open answered her use of the code word. Lucy allowed herself to relax. Her team was on top of things.
"No!" Norma screeched across the space between them, her body moving faster than her words. "You can't take her from me!"
Lucy drew the .32.
"FBI, stop right there!"
Too late. Norma plowed into Lucy with the force of a linebacker. Lucy and Norma flew backwards into the pool. Lucy smacked into the concrete bottom, landing on her left side and skidding across a scant inch or two of water and algae.
She brought her gun hand up, barely managing to hang on to the .32. Not that it was doing her any good. Norma landed on top of her, knocking Lucy's breath away, clawing at Lucy's face. The pool was only 4 feet deep, and the algae-choked water barely came to Lucy's ankles. Lucy pushed off the slimy bottom and rolled her weight on top of Norma, who now was writhing like she was possessed, drool streaming from her mouth as she spoke in some weird, keening language that made Lucy's ears wince. "Cast out this devil, O Lord!" Henry cried out, holding his Bible aloft as he knelt at the edge of the pool, eyes closed, body rocking, lurching, arching to and fro, his face filled with rapture. The others followed suit, kneeling above Lucy at the rim of the pool, rocking and rolling and praying. Lucy tried to get her feet under her and control of Norma. The floor was slimy, the water murky, and worse, there was definitely something moving in it. Fish? Henry opened his Bible and intoned, "In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents." Lucy sat up. Not fish. The sound buzzing through her bones, setting her teeth on edge, wasn't solely the product of Norma's keening or Henry's prayers or even the thudding of boots as her team ran down the stairs. Clumps of snakes huddled on a foot-high ledge that ran around the bottom of the pool. A timber rattler, as thick as her wrist, lazily raised his head and regarded her as if she were lunch. The smaller diamondback beside him wasn't so sanguine, his fangs showing as he shook his rattles. A dark streak darted through the murky water, followed by two more. Norma's eyes flew open and she shouted, "Amen!" just as the first of the snakes launched itself at Lucy.